Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. Guys, I'm excited about this. As you know, my habit is to welcome our guests because I know they're coming with two things that I deem very expensive, and that is their time. Time is one of the most precious commodity offered to mankind. Every one of us have 24 hours. Now, what you and I do with that 24 hours will truly, truly tell us a lot about you, how you respect, honor. How do you treat time? Are you in love with time or do you hate time? I'm telling you, you could see it from your life. The other is the journey. The journey has powerful, powerful, powerful stuff because it created the individual that is before us. And before us today, we have Dr. Johnson, and I cannot wait for her to tell you and I who she is, so that we can learn from her, gather some wisdom, insights, so that we can begin to become better human spirits while we are here on this planet Earth. Thank you so much for coming to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited to actually connect and meet with you, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. Yes.
I am as well. I always tell the folks that this question I ask everyone, because I want the audience to understand that it's not this narrow vision of themselves. They are here for something greater. The question is, how do you serve mankind?
How do I serve mankind? Well, I know without a shadow, without my mission that has been given to me is to assist in restoring the power of love in the heart of humanity. Now, I know I can't do that on my own, but that has been the true calling from my heart. One of the things that I have experienced as we talked before about the journey, everything that I do is to assist individuals in experiencing who they are and all that they were created to be. And I always say that if you don't go within, you go without. So that is what I do. Everything is pointing to you falling in love with you and experiencing you. Yes, definitely.
That's a beautiful mantra. I love that. If you don't go within, you'll go without, because that's how we were designed to live, from the inside out. But, you know, we've been programmed differently. One of our customs, Doc, is to go back. I call it that time machine that we visit. It is called memory, that we're able to go back into the first space that you and I reside for a short time, a few years, you know, and then we begin our journey, and that is called the family. How was your family? What was that unit like as this young girl was brought into the world?
Well, I had a stepdad, and my mother and I had three brothers. I was the only girl. I was the oldest of the four of us. And my stepdad actually married my mom. I had a brother, and he brought us into his world, and because he loved my mother so much, he took care of us and raised us as his own. And I am truly grateful and love him with all my heart because he didn't have to do that. I look at that as being, you know, a demonstration of unconditional love. And I grew up in Milwaukee, and we were we didn't have any need, no need. I never needed anything. And I was very close. We had a very close-knit family. I have a grandmother who just transitioned. She was 95. And she, you know, matriarch of the family. And she was so amazing. And she kept us together. We were like if you saw the movie Soul Food with the family, yeah, that always came together and we would eat. We had our issues, of course. And so it was it was just a wonderful experience in terms of my childhood. I didn't have a lot of trauma, but the thing that we talked about trauma that I experienced was my mom. She transitioned at the age of 41. And up to this day, that was the worst thing that had ever happened to me in my life. Me and my mom and I, we were very, very close. I would talk to her every single day. And so we were very close. As I think about, like, I just turned 60 in January on the 15th. And I reflect every time I reach a certain milestone in terms of my age, I think about how many years I've lived past my mother. And when I turned 40, 41, it was very devastating to me because I realized how young my mother really was at that point in time, because I was 41 and couldn't imagine. I hadn't even accomplished half of what I had intended at that time, and didn't understand, you know, why she was taken away. And I'm trying to stay focused in terms of thinking about my mom, but we had an awesome family unit. And when she left, I felt lost, but I was 21.
So yes. Here's this girl, 21 years old. Where did you, I love the family history that you told, the closeness of the family and the love that it was shown and seen. So here's this girl that grew up in that. You were 21 when you lost your mom. When you moved, where were you then? Were you in college? Where were you located, per se, in life as this young woman at 21 when that happened?
Well, I was pretty different. I bought my first home when I was 18 years old. And yes, when I was 18 years old. So I was already a homeowner, and I had a daughter. My daughter was one. And it's so amazing. I feel like my mom knew that she was leaving, because I had just purchased my home not too long before she actually transitioned, and she came over and she helped me to fix up my home and, you know, put the curtains up and everything. Every time she would come visit, she would move things around. Anything that I put in place, she would move it around, because she was a decorator. And that was so amazing. Yeah. But it was something that was going, that she, it fe- I felt like she knew that she was leaving, because she was preparing me for, like, in some kind of way that she was not going to be there. And I actually had gone on a trip prior to her transitioning, and I was never away from my mom too long at all. But the night that she actually was rushed to the hospital, I had just came back the day before, and I was trying to get to her as far as seeing her after she on that evening, that early morning. I hadn't seen her, and they rushed her to the hospital, and she was in critical condition. And I hadn't seen her anymore, you know, as far as her being conscious and after that. But I was on my own. I was a 21-year-old with her own home, and I hadn't got married yet. I was getting ready to get married. I got married after she, like maybe the year after she transitioned. But I was in that place. Yes.
And being in that place with that, because I understand what it feels like to lose your mom. I think we knew when she was going, and she had, I told her, I said, hang on, let me call my brothers and sisters and have them come. And so everyone was heading to that space. But I had to leave to go to work, but I knew when it happened and stuff like that. I was asleep. And I popped up just before my brother called. And so I know that connection with the mother and so forth, and how devastating it can cause you to be. Now, here you are, this 21-year-old woman with her baby. She has her own home. Mom transitioned over. You were saying that you're in the process or about getting married and all, or discussing it at that time. How did Doc handle all of that right there? With that's a lot to have in one's life. The passing of mom, your daughter, the conversation about marriage, being a homeowner itself is all kinds of fun things. But here you are in the midst of this spinning tornado of trauma. How did you handle it? What was happening to that young woman?
Well, to be honest, I wanted to commit suicide. And I thought about it. Because, like I said, my mom was my best friend, and I talked to her every day, and I was totally lost. I was devastated. You talk about trauma. It was unreal. I would go to sleep and I would turn over, and it was just like I couldn't believe it. And then people would call me, and there was nothing that they could say, nothing that they could say to make me feel better. It was like I was in a fog. And the only thing that kept me from committing suicide was the fact that I heard loud and clear, are you going to put your daughter through the same thing that you're going through right now? It was the fact that I had a child that kept me from committing suicide. Yes, when I heard the voice, would you like to put your daughter through what you're going through right now? Even though my daughter was only 1 year old, just the thought of her having to live her life without her mother, it made me stop, because I was in so much pain, and I would never have ever wanted her to experience what I was experiencing. I was truly grateful for the fact that it was spoken to me so loud and clear, because now I have a relationship with my daughter, the same type of relationship that I had with my mom. And I couldn't imagine what her life would have been like if I wasn't there. Every day I allow myself to be used to share the wisdom that has been given to me to assist her on her journey. I understand that, first of all, our journey is for us to experience it so that we can reach far and wide to assist others in whatever it is that we have been called and chosen to do in order to change and impact the world. And it first starts with you, and then the circle around you. And so I am truly grateful to have been able to have experienced the journey that I've been on, and to be able to pass it on to my daughter, the wisdom to help her to navigate through life differently than what I had experienced, understanding that she has her own journey, but to be able to give her the tools that she needs in order to become successful, not so much in terms of in the world, but be successful in experiencing who she is and what she was called and chosen to do and be on this earth plane. Because I've gotten to the place that success looks totally different whenever you end up on the other side of this experience, this physical journey experience. But when you go within and experience life from a whole nother vantage point, from a whole nother perspective and dimension, everything changes and looks different, and you experience things differently. So yes, that is
awesome. So what were some of those tools, Donk, that you brought into that darkness? Because after hearing the voice, you just didn't pop up and everything was rosy and stuff like that. You had the trauma, but you had to learn how to escort yourself from that pain. What were some of those tools that you brought in to your life to help you to, as you stated, began to live from the inside out? What were some of those?
Well, it took me a long time from that point to fully understand what was given to me. One thing, like when we talk about the family, I went to church with my grandmother every single Sunday. every Sunday. I would be so excited, and my mom would take me over my grandmother's house every Saturday, and I would spend the night, and she would take me to church. And so from a little girl on until I decided to, because I moved from Milwaukee, where I grew up, to Atlanta after my mom transitioned, because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I no longer wanted to be there if she wasn't there. I couldn't. And it wasn't until my daughter turned 10 years old and that I moved, but it was just too painful. And so when I left, my daughter stayed in Milwaukee until I established myself in Atlanta. So I said all that to say that as I was growing up, there's a scripture in the Bible, because I grew up in the church. There was a scripture in the Bible that I hide thy word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so I had a lot of word that was planted and seeds that were planted in my heart, and that's what kept me. So I found a church in Atlanta. It was a huge church compared to the churches that I attended in Milwaukee. And that was the only thing that kept me, is that I would, go to church and I would fall on my face and pray and ask God, please, please help me, please, because I can't do this. This pain is too, it's too painful. And one of the things that I end up doing is that I would avoid my heart like the plague, because I was always in emotional pain, not just of the fact that I lost my mom, but going through relationships and looking for love in all the wrong places. That's the thing. I used to, you've heard that term, but it's one of the things that I came to the realization, the reason why we look for love in all the wrong places, because we haven't been taught how to love ourselves. So we're looking everywhere, because there's something in us that all of us are looking for the same thing, and that is love. That it's love, and it's not about emotion. That's one of the things that I had to come to the realization. Love is not about emotion, and I'll get to that part of my stuff, but that was what kept me. The word, the scriptures that I learned and that was planted in my heart from a little girl on. And when I would just, and there was enough, when I would go to church, and I got to the point where I did, I'm going to be honest with you, I got tired of church, because I felt like there was a lot of talking, but not a lot of demonstration of what was being given to me in terms of what love was and unconditional love. There was so many people, like I felt like a lot of church people judged everything, like if you weren't doing and saying the same thing that they were doing and saying, then you were going to hell. That didn't feel right to me. And I remember my dad, my biological dad, I didn't grow up with him, and he would come and visit every visit us. He lived in another state, and every time he would come into town, he would come visit us. But after my mom transitioned, that's when I built a relationship with my dad. We would talk, and he would try to help me get through the emotional trauma that I was going through. And my dad was, I used to think he was really weird, because he used to talk to me about share different things from a metaphysical perspective. And he used to tell me, one, he would always tell me that I was dogmatic about my Christianity. And I would just like think like whatever, I didn't care, because I was really deep within in the church and doing those things. And so it was my dad. He was the catalyst to my awakening. And so one day my dad came to visit me, and in Atlanta, and he was always saying, you're just so dogmatic about your Christianity. He used to say, he would put it between my eyes. I didn't know what that meant when he said, I'm gonna put it between your eyes. He was talking about my third eye. Like waking me up, kind of thing. And the day that he left, after he came to visit me, he looked me straight in my eyes, and he said, when you're ready for the truth, it will come. And I looked at him, because I was like, I thought I knew everything at that, at that point, because I was just knew all the scriptures. I was in the church and doing ministry and things like that. And when I closed that door, I was angry. It was like a holy angry. I went upstairs in my room and I got on my face. I said to God, I said, I don't know what my dad is talking about, but I said, I'm ready. I'm ready for the truth, because I was mad. And from that day on, God said, okay, it's time. It's time. That's when my awakening started. And I started attracting things into my life, people, and it was just totally different. And I got immersed into, as I continued on, I was learning about the metaphysics and about dimensions. And that was my biggest thing. I was like, oh my God, I just love studying about the different dimensions. And I began to understand who I was, because I was doing a lot of research. And my connection went to a whole nother level, because there I had gotten to the point where I was exhausted in terms of, you know, serving in the church, and I would have different encounters and experiences where the presence of God would show up, and then the individuals would get up in the pulpit and try to calm the people down. Everybody's just crying and I feel like they're being healed. And that would really make me angry. So I would go out into the lobby area and finish having my encounter. So I said, forget this. I stopped going to church, because I said, I'm tired of man snatching me out of the spirit. So I said, I'm going to have my own encounter, because it was like, one of the things that came to me was like, if you're married, you have a husband, and he comes home and you've cleaned the house, you washed all of his clothes, and you've cooked his favorite meal. And if he desired and needed intimacy, physical intimacy, he don't care about all of that other stuff. Yeah, that might be a plus. But if he needs intimacy right then in that moment, the food and whatever you did is not going to satisfy any of that. It was the same thing. It was like God was telling me intimacy in terms of my connection, my receiving, the direct connection and experience of God without man in between. It's like you have someone else in the bed with you. And I said, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. So I started having my encounter with love. And when I'm talking about my encounter with love, it's just me and God. There was nothing and no one in between. I had no one in that space. And so from that point, everything changed. Everything totally changed and shifted. And that's how I was able to get on the other side of all of the pain that I was experiencing. And it took years for me to get to that place. But now I am really grateful, because my heart is free and I hear clearly. And when I choose, like, I experience love every single day. But what happens is that people they don't know what love truly is. And so there was an encounter that I had, because when I got tired of being sick and tired and going through the pain, and I remember one day I said to God, what is love really? I need to know what love truly is, so that when I encounter it, I will know it. It will be no question and no mistake. And so when I go to sleep at night, this is my relationship. I go to sleep at night, and before I become fully awake, I hear loud and clear. So if I have a question on my heart, even if I didn't verbally, you know, speak it out, if I didn't speak it out loud or communicate it out loud, I didn't need to. It was just on my heart and I would receive my answer. So that night I went to sleep and I woke up and I heard that love is all there is. It is the creative power of God which gives life to everything and everyone. It is experienced and expressed in many different ways, but to the degree in which your heart is open to allow love from the inside out will be the degree in which you will experience it and have the capacity to express it. I was like, oh my God. I hurried up and I wrote that down, because I was like, I heard that loud and clear. And it was just, and so that's what took me on my journey of creating everything that I've created. It's like, to the degree in which your heart is open, you know, it has to be open to allow it from the inside out. It's not about looking outside of ourselves for love, because when you love someone, you experience it first, because it comes from the inside out. So it's not even about what the subject, the people, places, and things that that where you experience love, it's not because it's about your inner, your state of being, the position of your heart. Because we can be in the same room and having totally different experiences, not about the outward experiences, about the outward expression, but it's about the inward experience. Everything. It doesn't matter what's, and I share with my clients, because like I created this process. It's called the heart scan process, air heart scan process. And within the process, it's like 12 parts, like 12 components to each part. There's three parts, and I'll call it, the first one is the 12 layers of love. It's the experience and the manifestation of love within your heart. And so it lies in the center point. So if you're not, for example, one of the layers of love is peace. Peace is a manifestation and experience of love in within your heart. So if you're not experiencing any of the 12 layers, and you experience, it's like I say that you're shifting and you're falling out of love. That's what falling out of love is. Yeah. It's when you no longer experience, you're no longer experiencing that love that is within your heart. Like forgiveness is a manifestation of love. It's one of the layers of love and passion. And just, yeah, it's just amazing the things that have been revealed. That's what helped me to shift, to shifting by going within and connecting to what love truly is. It's not an emotion. It's your power. It's the power that has been given you to create your reality. That's what love is.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. I had to disconnect from the church in order to begin my journey. Because what I learned in the church, as you said, judgmental, but they're also lazy. There's a degree of personal development that is required. The church doesn't even talk about personal development. But when you read the Bible, that's all it is in there, is about personal development. And so I see, and I've been there because I was a pastor, and I know that those people are lazy, all of them, including the pastors. They don't study to do anything. I remember some of those pastors, I would ask them, how do you study? They tell me, oh, I don't study. I just wing it. I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but I was like, you do what?
Oh, gosh.
And it was a revelation to me that, yeah, they just wing it. And those guys are having people following them, winging it. And the Bible wants, God wants to have a more in-depth conversation with us, because the principle is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind and all thy strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that is a journey that one has to go on, because Jesus told his disciples that you're going to have to go on that journey. And out of that journey, you will have the capability, Jesus said, to love your enemies. That's the only way you can love your enemy.
Yes.
And you cannot be in a space of love and be judgmental, because Jesus said, the Bible says, judge not lest you shall be judged. So you have the church full of people that are judgmental. And I have learned, I'm 62, and I've studied the word and dedicated my life to learning wisdom. Jesus, the Bible says in Psalms, to teach us to number our days so that we can pursue wisdom, because that's one of the things that I wanted to do. And as I'm looking in and studying all the different sages and books and so forth, especially the Bible, I've come to the conclusion that there are two kingdoms that I've been aware of. One is governed by judgmental behavior, and that is, the Bible calls that the kingdom of darkness. That's all they know. Judgment. Mm-hmm. They see somebody, they judge them. They talk about it. They cannot. There's nothing else there. That's all they see. And then there are those that were delivered out from that kingdom, but they are on this journey to see, as you said, from within out. They are more open to questioning things. They are more open into the adventure of living by faith. I don't care what you are. They are not focused on this judgmental. They're focused on the inside. And that inside is all about living by faith, because you're not, you and I weren't trained to live from the inside out. So everything you do from the inside out has to be done by faith. There's no way else you can do it because you're not familiar with it. And so then there's a degree of walking by faith from the inside out. And so when you go in and you have to learn how to love you, then I begin to get baselines of what it looks like. Number one, from my relationship with God, he teaches me what it looks like. He teaches me to don't be hard on yourself like that. He'll say to you, you're greater than that. I love you. You are not stupid. And he begins to show you stuff from conversation. Listen to that powerful insight that he gave you about love. You couldn't get that in the church. They don't know anything about that. And so he began to speak to you, to open things to you. And then in one day you'll realize, wow, I am something special. That's because he's been telling you that you're something special. Now you know that you're something special. When someone presents and they disrespect you, you know that that person is from that judgmental kingdom, and you escort them out of the door. Thank you. And that will save you and I from a lot of problem. But what we do is, because they look good, they say the same thing, they like the same music, they smile at me and they say good things, we invite them into our space, and 10 years later, we've been through hell on earth, not recognizing the value. We allow them to come into our space and disrespect us for many years, and we find ourselves trapped and have to come out of this garbage. But here you are, Doc. You had an encounter with God. He showed you, he taught you all this stuff. And that was the catalyst that kept you standing. As you now begin to have this encounter, because it says you got to learn to love you, he's going to show you stuff about you. And then it's going to be boiling over so much inside of you, you're going to have to start telling people. So when you started to begin to realize that, oh, man, I got to talk, how did that process begin? Because now you have to talk to people to make them aware of who they are. Because why? They've been in church. And the church has been telling them how worthless they are. You know, because we're familiar with that. We were there. So now you're having to go to people and open your mouth and begin to express and talk about what you have learned. How was that transition, and how easy, how hard? What were some of those memories that you have about that?
Well, one of the things, like, as I was transitioning out of the church, I had other encounters. I, like, as far as the angel type encounters, like, seriously, it was pretty mind-blowing. I used to listen to and read a lot of different books, and I was doing something that's called the Gathering of the Queens. It was an event that would speak to the mind, body, and spirit of women, and I won't go into all of that, but it was really amazing. And at this particular holistic center, there was different practitioners. That's where I had the event. And this lady came up to me and she said, "Here, you need to read this book." And I didn't know the lady well enough for her to know what I was interested in. She just said, "You really need to read this book." And the book was called Healing with the Angels. It was called Healing with the Angels. And I was like, okay, well, I will read this book. I started reading that book, and it was over a weekend, and I did not put it down. And one of the things that I learned in that book is that, you know, how with the scriptures talking about that God gives angels charge over us, that we might not, you know, dash our foot against the throne. I quote the whole scripture. But so I was like, and the book was talking about how angels are available to assist us, but they can't not unless we give them permission, right?
Permission.
So I was like, what? I was like, what? There's angels around me? What? to wait for me to give them an assignment? I was like, oh no. Oh, so I'm very special when it concerns, I take things to an extreme. When I got done, I started talking to God. I was like, and it was like, angels are like God's arms. Like, help. It's like, you're not, because I was feeling some kind of way. I was like, okay, do I talk to the angels? What about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit? It was like, but the angels, God gave them to us to assist us. So after that, I started studying about angels. I wanted to know what angels did. I wanted to know their names, what assignments did you give these angels? Because when I call on these angels, I want to make sure I'm calling on the right ones. Like, seriously, that's what I did. So I created something, because I've been an entrepreneur since I was 10 years old. That's another thing. Our family is really, really creative. So my aunt taught me how to, and my cousins, how to create crafts, and I would sell them. So I've been an entrepreneur. So I was an entrepreneur, and I used to have struggles with my business becoming really successful. And so I was like, I'm going to put my angels on assignment. And so I called on my angels to help me with my business, because I was a one person. And so I created something that's called Angels on Assignment, Employing the Angelic Realm, because I knew every single angel. I knew every single, I think it was 16 angels. I know there are thousands of angels, 16 archangels that I learned about. And so I actually created a system to assist entrepreneurs in calling in on angels, because after I did that, I was really successful. I was an insurance agent, and I won all expense paid trip in 9 months that it took agents 3 years to attract. So that was my testimony. So I would do that. So I could end up creating angel cards with all of the information on it that I learned from the angel. They were angel business cards. That was, I would call them that. And I would do workshops and teach the individuals how to employ the angels. So that was, angels were their employee. So that was the first thing that I did. Then the big shift took place where, when I started focusing more on my inner journey and my heart, I created the heart scan process, where to assist individuals in identifying the emotions that was blocking them from fully experiencing their power and love. So the first part was the 12 layers of love. And the second part was the emotional blocks, helping them identify emotional blocks. So I had created the information or my process, and someone said, you need to attend this holistic fair. And they had readers, a couple, like two readers or something. And I was like, reading? Yeah. I don't know anything about doing readings. I had no idea. I was just creating my little angel deck. And so I would sit up and have people just come, and I would just listen to God. God would tell me what to say to them. I wasn't in tune to that gift. I could hear so clearly. So I would just tell people about whatever themselves. I would tell them, I would use my little cards that I would just have them pull. And when I would see it, I was just, my gifts just came out, and I would just talk to them. So after I would do that for a while, then I end up having to create the next part, which was the call to love. What do you need to do in order to clear the emotional blocks? Because I would feel some kind of way, because I would tell them what layer of love needed their attention, and then what the emotional block was, and they would walk away. And what are they going to do with that? They don't know what they need to do to clear it. And I was like, Lord, this is incomplete, and I know it is. So what's the other part to this? And then it was like, I call it the call to love. And what manner do you need to demonstrate love to yourself to clear the emotional block so you can access your power? And so God gave it
that
to me.
Powerful.
And it was during the time that I was writing my book. And my book is called Broken Open.
That is powerful.
A truthful journey into your heart. Not just a journey, but a truthful journey.
Doc, yes. That is such a powerful story about everything, the angels and all of the other gifts that you utilize. You know, the book of Hebrews talk about the angels being our servants. And Psalms 91 also talks about that, as you were quoting it. And they are waiting for us to be, they're waiting for you to say something, to give them the assignment. You and I talked about assignments before we came onto the podcast. My belief is that every one of us on this planet came with an assignment, but we get caught up on getting the job. And the job will always keep you from your assignment. And I use the example when Jesus Christ showed up to Peter and those guys, they were doing their job. And their job was fishermen. And he looked at them mm-hmm. and he says, hey, guys, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the assignment that you have will always have some of the same principles that you were familiar with within your business field. It's the same thing. He just takes it and flips you into another thing. So, and he will use it. The book of Enoch has hundreds of names of angels, hundreds of
yes.
them.
Yes, I know, it's like
what they do, their assignment. Yeah, so
yes.
it's all in there as to yes. whatever. So you have access to them. And I say good morning to mine every morning, and I send them out on assignment as well, because I understand the principles. So here you are. You are able, God is showing you so much. He's making you useful in the sense that your gifts are beginning to, and I tell people there's a point when your gifts begins to use you. The fact that you're there,
right.
it yeah. just has been so much part of you that it uses you to get the assignment completed. So here you are being used of your gift. Your God is showing you so much. As you're doing all of that, how are you doing? And because sometimes we get so busy with the assignment, sometimes we don't take the time to, we can get distracted with all that stuff. How were you managing yourself? Were you able to stay focused? Were you dancing in the wind, as they say? What was Doc doing there in the midst of all of this as God is lifting you up and expanding you?
Well, it was a continuation of the go-through. You know, I was in a relationship with someone who did not understand my gifts. He was definitely an alpha male, and his main focus was making money. And so he would look at me like I was crazy. Yeah. It was like, you're not gonna be able to make money doing that. No one can afford to pay for whatever it is that you're doing in terms of my coaching or angel work. And it was very, very difficult. That was part of the extreme emotional pain that I was experiencing, to be in a relationship with someone who could not see you for who you truly were in terms of
yeah.
your purpose and your journey. And when you love someone to the degree and level that I loved him, and to have him not accept me and to judge me for what I was doing, and kind of looked at me like I was crazy. So I was struggling also financially, because I when I received what God gave me, I was just like, okay, forget all the other stuff. This is it. This is who I am. I feel like the experience of fulfillment and joy that I had in my heart as a result of finally stepping into my purpose, or feeling like that God is going to provide for me and keep me and take care of me as I do, you know, God's work. But that wasn't the case. Yeah. And because I don't know, it's like there are so many people like that find their purpose and say, okay, this job is not it. And this is what I came here to experience because I'm, again, experiencing something that I've never experienced before. And when you're a servant, seeing how what you've been blessed with has changed and transformed others' lives, even being in a place like not understanding, okay, God, you gave me this and I see this vision and it's supposed to reach far and wide. And so, like, where are you, Lord? I don't feel anything, you know, when is this is going to happen? I know you gave me this and I've seen people's lives change. So that was difficult for me, you know, and it was always,
yeah,
okay, it's time. No, stop. Wait, no, not yet. Okay, God, I'm ready. No, no, you're not ready. I understood. It is about the timing. When you're on a journey, this is another thing. It's the timing. You receive things, yeah, from God and you know, okay, it's no, not yet. But I came to the realization is that everything that God gave me, it was like God would, you know, fix the plate, you know, fix my plate, put it all, everything, all this beautiful, awesome food on my plate. And instead of me nourishing myself, I would take it off my plate and feed everybody else. I was feeding, yeah, everyone else. And I had, yeah, to, God had said, this was for you. You have to nourish yourself. You have to, it was like, I hear like, you have to be a cup overflowing. You can't operate from a, yeah, place of lack or depletion. And that's what, that's when you say what was going on with me, I was feeding everybody except myself. And I used to cry and I was so hurt. That was another source of pain. God, you gave me all this. I create so many things. I'm a creator. I've written books, journal books. I've written books. I created the heart scan cards. I created angel cards. I've created so many curriculums and things of that nature. And I'm like, okay, God, why do you keep giving me things if you're not going to open up a door and make a way for me to share it with the world? And every time it was like, because you have to embody your message. You have to become what I've given you so that you can be a demonstration, because you know, the scripture comes up that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So when you embody your message, your life becomes a testimony. And so that's what, yeah, was going on with me. I was just focusing on everyone else except me. And that was part of the journey, because God had to take me within when I got tired of hurting and being disappointed, not only, yeah, by people, but I felt like God let me down because you gave, yeah, me all of this and you have given me an opportunity, yeah, to share it, yeah, with the vision that you gave me. I saw it. I see it.
Yeah. I think it's there's a degree, Donk, of surrendering that takes place. We have to learn boundaries. There's so much to learn. And that's why I said the church is full of religion. They're not full of God. And they belong there. Religion belongs in a church. God is, yes, he said, go in the world. He belongs in the world. And so he's not going to be trapped in that little building that they all dress on a Sunday, the finest thing, and none of them would help a poor. If a homeless show up there, they'd kick him out. And God says, take, yes, care of the homeless and feed the poor and all this type of stuff. And so religion is that. It's religion. It's for show, because Jesus said, you fast and pray like those guys who are religious. And there's this one woman who had a relationship with God. And Jesus said, that woman there, what she gave is more precious than what those guys were doing, because she had a relationship with her God, and she was on her face, yeah, before her God. The other guys were in church. They were in religion. And so religion it has nothing to do with God. So here you are. I believe that the gifts are designed to sustain us, but we have to learn a couple of things because we are not familiar with all of that. Boundaries. We can't, you have to, like you said, we have to serve from the overflow. One of the other things that I had to learn, and I tell people, everyone has to deal with surrendering. And I always use this as an example, because to me, it is absolutely the picture of the battle that takes place to come to a place where you surrender to God and say, okay, I'm going to go with your timing, because the Bible says that he does everything beautiful in his time. And that's the struggle, his time and my time, because my time is now, his is not yet. And so that that piece right there, I have to remind myself all the time that God, everything is beautiful in his time. So what am I supposed to do within that, between his time and my time? I have to learn. And Jesus was battling there. It says that he was in his garden praying, and he had to go. God is trying to push him to the next level. And he says, I don't want to die, man. I know we talked about this before the foundation of the earth, but I can't go through this. And I don't think it was a matter of him hanging on the cross. I think it was more so that he had to be separated from his father. He had never been separated from him. And that was the piece that was breaking his heart. And because he had, the scripture said he had to become sin. And when you become sin, the father can't look on that. So he knew that he had to separate himself from the father. And he was in the garden and he says, I can't do this. I can't do this. And this battle back and forth, so intense, the Bible says that he was sweating blood. You and I have not sweat blood yet. But at the end of this sweating blood, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he surrendered, he began to be escorted to the next level of his assignment. See, his assignment, it says Jesus died. His assignment was to come and die. So then that piece where we have to surrender is that next level of our assignment that is going to expand us to a degree that we've never, ever been. And that is the piece where most of us struggle, because we want our time. But we have to remind ourselves, everything is beautiful in his time. How do we maintain that? We praise and worship him. Our focus has to be on him to take us through, because we are limited. If I could have done it, Doc, it would have been done. But since I couldn't do it, I have to trust him to do it. So that means it's out of my hands. The only thing I could do is thank him for making it happen. Thank you. And I just keep plugging. And you will be amazed of how everything works out, because he says in everything, give thanks. And that's the principle. So when you do that and giving thanks, your focus and your faith is not on you. It's not on anything that is outside of God's ability, because you got no other place to turn. So you can't look to the left or to the right. You got to look straight, stay focused, and you'll get your blessing. You guys have been listening to Doc and I for a while, and she, I just let her go because her story is so powerful, that she has so much wisdom, knowledge, and insight. We haven't gone, and you guys know my habit is I want to bring her back because I want her to go into the nuts and bolts of her programs that she has. Those 12 steps that she talked about, we're going to provide all the information for you guys to get access to her. And I suggest you buy her books, you get into all of those things, get the heart scan, get everything that you can. And I'm going to bring her back for another podcast, and we're going to go into some of those principles so that you guys can get your hands on the nitty-gritty. As I always say to the audience, the first podcast is for you to get to meet them and see that they have been through, they haven't been through a masterclass. They actually went through life and they learned some things out of there, some principles, some insights that can be able to assist you in moving through your dark time. And she has a powerful story, and we haven't even touched the surface as yet. So I can't wait to bring her back so that she can, enlighten us even more. So here you are, Doc, you're going through all of these different experiences. You're like, I'm not sure God is right. I don't know what's going on. This is not going on. And you're in this mix. How were you able to come to that place of surrendering? Because everyone got to get there. I remember mine. I fought him. I fought him for years. And I remember he would tell me, I need you to do that. And I'm like, no. And one of the favorite scriptures that I love about God says, come, let's reason together, means come with your craziness. Let's have this conversation. And he came to me and had a conversation with me for several years before I surrendered. And I said, enough. I had enough. I'm getting whipped. I can't handle it anymore, because I was trying to make it happen in my ability. How were you able to, what did your surrendering look like when you said, you know what, I can't do this. I got to trust God. What did that look like to you?
Well, I remember one day, and it was around the same time when it was revealed to me in terms of what love truly was. I said to God, if you show me love, I promise you that I will share it with the world. It was always about the emotional pain that I was experiencing, like the relationship that I shared with you earlier. I had ended it, and it was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. And it was when I looked at it as my heart being broken open. God was like, your heart wasn't broken. So many people say that your heart is broken. But God was like, your heart was broken open so that the treasure within your earthen vessel can come forth. And so that was at that time, because it was like, that was the end of it. I was just, I can't do this anymore. I associated love with pain. Every time I loved something or someone, I eventually experienced pain. So I was like, Lord, I can't. And when you say surrender, I call it in a perfect way under grace. I need your grace, Lord, because I'm in too much pain and I can't take any more. It's a pain that no one else can see. It's not a flesh wound. I can't touch it. I can't do anything to make it go away. Only you can. And that's what it was. It was just like, I can't. It was to the point where I was like, I don't want to be here. It was another time where I was like, God, if you don't show me, then just take me. Because what's the point? I don't believe that I'm here to be in pain every single day of my life, emotional pain. I don't believe that's you. You're a loving and a caring God, and this doesn't feel like love. So I surrender, because I can't. I've done everything. I read the scriptures. I listened to YouTube videos. I read all kind of books, and none of it is even like the scripture in the Bible. Okay, yeah, love is all of that, and I'm experiencing the pain, but this is not it, and I can't do it anymore. Not only I can't, but I don't want to. It wasn't just about I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't.
Yeah.
And that's where my surrender came in. And it's going to another level, because I'm even at another place that's unreal to me. But I go through it. It's not what you go through, it's how you go through it. So I have so much peace and joy in my heart, even though it looks like my whole life is being turned upside down right now. But it's all good.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, he promises us that he will be in the fire. He will be in you know, the river will not overflow and all this stuff. And I tell people that when you're doing your assignment, because most of us think that when we're in our assignment, everything is rosy. And no, it's not. Paul the Apostle was doing his assignment, and he died a horrible death. Peter died a horrible death. Stephen died a horrible death. These guys, they used stone. Isaiah was sawn in half. I mean, all these guys were doing their assignment. But it's painful there. It's not a bed of roses. Jesus was doing his assignment, and he got crucified. You know, it was part of his assignment. But God said he would be in all of it. And he walks with us in every aspect of our pain. He knows it. But when we do surrender, there is blessings there. Jesus, when he surrendered, he made a way for all of us to become sons, you know. And I'm a son. All of us are a family of God. So the opportunity is there for anyone who wants to be a part of that family. And so, again, guys, I want to thank God. How you are, you surrendered. We talked earlier that God is stretching you and taking you beyond. And we want to bring you back, because I know you're going beyond. And we're going to bring you back and have that conversation as well. But I also want to bring you back and go into some of the nuts and bolts with the heart scan and all the different things by the angels. If you can just touch a little on them all as we go through the other podcast, so that the additional listeners that are here, that they can get into your space. But guys, I want to just tell you to come into her space. Go ahead, Dawn.
May I say one thing really quick before you go? Because I really, it's really heavy on my heart. And when you talk about our journey and going through things, we do. And one thing that I can say, and I have to say, so that the listeners understand, you can go through, but it's like there's a scripture in the Bible that I will give you peace in the midst of a storm. I have reached that peace place in my life. Yes. And I've reached that place in my life. And I want, you know, even though you're going through things, like my heart is so free. You know, my exterior world, my physical world, you know, from my perspective or other people's perspective, it might look crazy, but in my inner space, like I have so much peace and joy in my life. My heart is so free, and I'm grateful for that. I am truly, truly grateful for that. So don't be afraid of your journey. Yes, you're going to go through some things, but if you go within and you come in alignment with who you are and your purpose, you don't have to. You don't have to go through that emotional pain. You don't have to be in this overwhelming stress. You'll experience it for a moment. It can be just for a moment. It's your choice. God's hand is where every day I place before you life and death, blessings and curses. You choose. But you have to be in a place where you can clearly discern which one is going to be, which one is a curse and which one is a blessing, because you can experience it every single day. You can experience blessing and love every single day of your life, every day. And I do, and I'm grateful for it. Yes.
I agree. Yes. The marker by which you, and Doc said it, by which you know that you are in that space is peace. We have examples of that. Jesus is on the cross and he looks at that man and he talks and he says, "You're going to be with me." And he says, "Father, forgive them." You know, we have Stephen being stoned and, you know, he's looking at them and looking in heaven, praying, don't hold this against them. That man was in absolute peace. And as much as all those things that people do to you when you're in your assignment, that peace, no matter what is happening. Daniel was in the lion's den and he had the peace. He was just hanging out. That's what it looks like, guys. So don't be afraid of the fire, because he said, when you're in the fire, it will not burn you. When you are in the water, it will not overflow. So God is there with you in that space mm-hmm. that you think he's not there. He's actually yes. right there with you. And so I want to encourage you guys. So Doc, I want to thank you so much for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. This has been a beautiful one.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.